Welcome to the New Work Heroes podcast. My name is Jörn Hendrik, and this is episode number 110 of my show. And I am your host on interviews, heroes, hero journeys with interesting adventurers that created their own life, their own careers even, and also for deep dives on certain methods, ideas, and coaching aspects as it is. Now, for this episode, which I call the Retreat Field Guide, and it is an English episode. Normally, my episodes are in German, but I met so many people during the last weeks that were asking, why are you only doing it in German? And yeah, I know it's really a pain being like bilingual, since the next interview will also be in English, I just want to kick this off. And also, I'm coming fresh from my retreat. I do have a bit of a flu, so sorry for the light nasal tone of my voice, but I hope it's fine. And I actually came back from a wonderful retreat that was rooted in Kundalini yoga, breath work, also coaching at a breathtaking venue at the beautiful Mediterranean island of Mallorca. And thank you so much, Caroline and Nicole, for holding the space and keeping us in this transformational space for the last days. And actually, I came back with my journal filled with questions, realizations, ideas. And one of those was that I was thinking a lot about my experiences on workshops, retreats, trainings, year groups, all of the methods that I learned and certifications I did. And actually, I went over the last 20 years and predominantly my work, my inner work, my personal development takes place in workshops, retreats, and formats that go over a weekend or more than that, maybe 5 to 7 days. So I want to just put this together in some sort of field guide to transformational group work. So it's not just, I just want to talk about my story, but also a bit of a field guide to bring together some tools and insights and all the things that I wish somebody would have told me before I went to retreats, especially those big life-changing retreats where you have intense experiences. And sometimes it's also good to just explore it yourself. But if this episode has been recommended to you by a friend, maybe because you are up to go to a retreat or workshop, I think that's great, because I hope that you really benefit from it. So I think I'm going to talk about 3 to 4 things. And let me start with one important learning that kicks in super fast. And this is, the group is the curriculum. So the for some, the content is more important than actually the people that are on a journey. May it be in, for example, the certification of a certain working method, like maybe a Scrum Master or a product owner workshop or something else, right? You just want to upskill yourself and use it, put it into your CV, maybe on your LinkedIn profile, and then you want to upskill, right? But the conversations with the group are sometimes more interesting than a certain additional point that your teacher, your trainer is talking about, right? And through the group, you're really learning how to apply especially complicated methods like Scrum or Agile stuff. And for the more like emotional and heartfelt transformations, may it be in a yoga retreat or a retreat that includes more body work, the group is even more important, because sometimes you work with the group members and you have a direct feeling on exchanging emotions. And this is an important part. So every retreat is a group experience. And this is one truth that I learned: the group is your mirror. Triggers, judgments, annoyances, they're usually about you and not them. And let me give you some examples. So, for example, there is this loud guy that is always speaking up first, and you really think that it is annoying, and then nobody should be that loud and it should be that clear, right? Or then this maybe this successful woman that talks about, you know, her promotion or what she has gained in the last month, and you really feel, wow, she's bragging around a lot. Or maybe there's even the sensual person that is wearing like super open clothes and, you know, is really like running her or his fingers through the hair and is really like looking at you in a way where you think, wow, I mean, is this still professional? Is this keeping your boundaries? And it's keeping these, I'm just making up these three examples because if I'm saying the group is your mirror and the person is your mirror and certain things that go inside of you, let me explain. The loud guy that really annoys you, maybe it speaks to you. Maybe you might want to take more space. Maybe you wish you would be able to be that spontaneous and speak up what you really feel right out. And that successful woman, maybe you feel behind, maybe you feel intimidated and you say, and you feel that you also want to be more successful, right? And you're struggling with it, that she can so speak so openly about it. And yeah, that sensual person, maybe you crave to have more expression, to maybe dare to be more open and to live certain aspects on your life more openly. And these projections are valuable, right? The group teaches you who you really are. And I think for me, that has been, it took quite a while to actually understand that those triggers come up frequently and that this makes up a, you know, maybe the one of the biggest aspects of a retreat. So especially when you're in a more sensual setting and it's more about body work, maybe even tantric exercises. And I don't want to dive too deep into here, but it could be just a simple eye gazing exercise. And this can be very deep, right? Sharing this with one person. And honestly, a lot of good things can come out of the group. Friendships, you could, you know, stay in contact or maybe even meet afterwards and real friendships can come out of it. But also maybe it is something that you really want to forget, right? Where you say, wow, this was so intense and it really wasn't good for me. I will come up with in part two with something to speak about it. But for now, I want to go over this aspect of the group is the curriculum. The group is the mirror. And I think, what can you do to actually work with this? Write it down or just first feel and accept that there is some sort of friction, that there's some sort of movement. I mean, even anger or disguise or, you know, even disgust can be an important feeling of, okay, this is really, just accept it, right? Just feel inside of it, right? It's not, you don't need to make sense out of everything, right? Sometimes it's just too loud and you want to, you know, you want to be a bit on your own and it's early in the morning, especially when you have those, you know, early breathwork sessions or yoga sessions at 7 o'clock in the morning. It really can be annoying, but still, how can you be resilient and work with this when this is really at some point taking up in your life? And sometimes you just can't run. Sometimes you just have to stand other people in your life. And it is actually a good exercise to ask yourself, what is the aspect that I can actually improve or can the group can teach me. So this is also a point why I, as a teacher, trainer, and also as a coach, love group work because I'm facilitating myself retreats and workshops and trainings, because the group is really can be a shortcut to certain realizations, right? So once you have accepted this, there can be also a beautiful exercise in just being open about this, right? So just think about this loud guy, right? What about telling him, thank you for being you? it challenges me. And I'm working with this, right? So thank you for being you and thank you for showing up because this teaches me something, right? And in good retreats, I also have to say that at a certain point, always this kind of, you know, especially in sharing rounds, comes the realization for the whole group that this is possible, that everybody can show up as who they are. And this is something very valuable for spaces like this in retreats, workshops, right? And, you know, it doesn't need to be always a spiritual journey or an emotional journey in heartfelt body work and breath work, yoga, tantra or something. It can be also in very specific certification workshops where you go through over a method that you always have a point where you see trigger, right? And it can be very powerful to talk about this, right? To say, I just want to say thank you at this point because I feel actually pretty triggered about the discussion at this point right now, because I always thought that if you apply A, B, and C, then this would be the case. But I can feel now that there's a lot of controversy around this, and I really appreciate because this brings a new view to me. And also the discussion was a bit lengthy to my mind, but it brought some good realization, right? And this is, I think it shows, you know, generosity, right? And instead of complaining and saying, why are you like this, or I don't like this, or could you please stop doing this, it could be a good lesson to go back to your inner feelings, to your inner realizations, and to think about why actually a certain behavior of a person in a group is triggering yourself. All right, the next part is about boundaries. And I think there is this idea of saying no can be the deepest yes to yourself that you can witness, that you can experience. And I want to talk about this. There's often a subtle pressure to participate fully in groups. And when I go over this with my therapist, she's always telling me, Jan Hendrik, you know what? I think group work and workshops, that it is dangerous. You know, it can trigger people over boundaries and then push people over boundaries that are not healthy for them. Honestly, I share this view, but I also have to say that the positive outturn of actually working in a group and crossing your boundaries is really valuable. And if you're doing it the right way, it really can transform your realization of what you are capable of and also what you can work with, right? And let me dive into that. So don't let that override your inner signal, right? So if there is group pressure in, for example, sharing a certain thing, and you can feel what in sharing, especially for personal development, the area that I'm working mostly with, right? And I'm talking about, for example, inner doubts, right? And I'm talking about then, how do you feel right now in your professional work life? And then astonishingly, it becomes very emotional, because some participant will share that he or she feels really overwhelmed, and that she doesn't know, or he doesn't know where to go, and maybe lose a job, or, you know, having no income and not being able to pay the rent, right? This can be very emotional, and maybe you will feel the need of also being emotional, also opening up. And also, this is, you know, while this could be good for you to also talk about your feelings, really look about inner signals. So common boundary challenges is saying yes when you're exhausted, pushing yourself into emotional processes you're not ready for. And I think living in Berlin and living in this kind of, you know, bubble of personal development and also conscious work, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer here that you should only enter deep emotional or even altered state work when you're grounded and stable. Because these spaces, they are no shortcuts. They demand capacity and safety. And I think that, how do you find out that you're stable? I mean, honestly, if you freak out about the thought of going to that tantric seminar workshop, or really feeling anxiety of taking psychedelic substances to go in a different altered state of mind, just because it is it's en vogue and a lot of your friends are doing it, beware. And I just take these two things, and they're a bit juicy, right? Doing tantric or sexual energy work. I mean, this is one of the deepest experiences you can do, right? Because sexual energy is life force energy, right? It's actually creating life, and but it's also something where really trauma can be stored, right? So beware of entering those rooms. And I even heard about people combining both tantric sexual energy work and psychedelics. And honestly, I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's important to know where your boundaries are, depending this. And I did both, and I have to say both were really good experiences. But I personally would say that, especially for what is called plant medicine work nowadays, you know, and what is that exactly? It could be ayahuasca, it could be psilocybin, magic mushrooms, or even other substances. And I do respect those mostly, especially when it's real original work that is done through First Nation shamans or other people. I think really it has some holiness to it also. But it should be done only if you are really up for this and you're really interested in this. I mean, there's even scientific work around this now. There's even like an institute in the Mind Foundation in Berlin that is actually having a pretty official work on the use of psilocybin and depression. So that is something that is out there, and a lot of people are talking about it. But please just beware and be open about if this is your part, right? And I think these practical boundary actions is for and let's just, you know, skip this juicy parts for now, and let's come back to personal development. So what I'm doing, for example, with the new Work Heroes is going over exercises about your inner doubt, for example. And it's a beautiful exercise that I love a lot, right? It's about asking yourself, what am I in doubt, and why is that the case? And asking it again and again, five times in total, right? It's a beautiful exercise that really goes deep. But you know, you don't need to share every single response to this, or only because you feel triggered that everybody is sharing. If you don't want to share, then skip this and talk about it. Skip sessions when you need to rest or reflect. For example, if you really feel exhausted because you have young children at home and you don't sleep, and this is your opportunity to really sleep, then, I mean, I would ask myself, do I really want to sleep the whole retreat until like 11 or something? But maybe one day, and miss all of the sessions, right? But maybe one day, if you really feel like it, just do it, right? And of course, it will be just, you know, kind to share this with your facilitators or trainers if you feel like this, right? Also, like, just don't go out of a session without saying anything. It would be just, you know, coming up to maybe also the most good retreats and workshops done with more than one trainer. So there are also helping hands in the background, and just tell them, right? So I don't feel well, I just want to go outside and I need some time for my own, and then this is fine, right? I even love the idea of wearing badges that are saying I am in silence, or even, you know, ideas of starting your day in silence until breakfast, right? So just to help you to feel your boundaries, right? And these practical boundary actions can be also just stepping up and saying, is this right for me? I don't know. I feel insecure about this, right? I feel really emotional with this. And then, of course, facilitators and trainers will take the time to talk with you, right? And if you don't know if this is right for you, my ultimate tip is to just take a journal and to write about it, right? Write up down a question: is this good for me? And then, you know, let it flow. Let's see what is going. So don't feel pushed through the group to make certain experiences. I think also, if you communicate clear your boundaries, this is always the better lesson than to dive in some sort of exercise, right? And I think good facilitators, and I can say for sure that I can that I'm able to see this, can see if it's good for a participant or not, right? But ultimately, only you will know, right? And then it is a bit of what I always do is like, okay, so what does your feeling say? So let's think about this doubt question, right? So why are you in doubt, and why is that the case? Five times, writing it down, and you feel like there's a you feel a blocker, right? Then I would ask yourself, okay, so why do you think is that the case? Why is that a blocker? And it's like, yeah, I don't feel. Is it because you don't feel comfortable? It's supposed to feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you think. It's supposed to go down, right? And sometimes we need to go down to come up again. And this is part of the work. And when your answer is still no, okay, skip it. But if you think that this is the right way to do, go for it. Okay. You're not avoiding the work. You're respecting your rhythm. And this is an important reminder at this point to actually go over it. So let's now talk about a part that I really love, and that is also maybe the reason why I love going on retreats or having workshop experiences with a group. And this is the integration. And the integration is real work, right? Because there's always a point when in group experiences, no matter if it's for your team and your organization or with strangers that you got to know a couple of days ago, there will always be the question, how can I apply all of this in real life? How can I make use of this? How can I benefit, like the maximum benefit? How can I take it out of it? And the honest answer is you can, but sometimes it really takes time, commitment, and patience. And what I think that facilitators and trainers are really good at, and they're not magicians, by the way, and they're not angels or, you know, enlightened healers. They're just human beings organizing a workshop and a retreat. I think this is also super important to say, even if you say, wow, this was so life-changing, was amazing. It was like, I wasn't even able to think this in my life. It was mind-altering. This is amazing. You know, this kind of conversation around a retreat brings in some sort of religious tone to it that I really don't like. Because in the moment, you can say, okay, if it was so life-altering for you, that's great, right? Amazing. Just be happy around it. But maybe it will be completely different for a different person. And why? Because it's your retreat. You are bringing the... It's different for every person, right? So be careful if someone really kind of promises you deep mythical experiences and whatever, and especially if they're combining it with plant medicine and tantra, really. Yeah. Really be careful with that. So integration is... It takes time and commitment. And what I think is like coaches and facilitators hold the moment and you hold the outcome, right? So it's about, of course, you can come back. And if something really nags you and you're like, wow, this I need to come back to this. Can we talk and work with this? Most facilitators and trainers are actually up for one-on-one sessions as well. So sometimes you may need this. But it's, you know, it's in hard conversations at work. Just, you know, imagine you do a nonviolent communication course, right? How does this work in your day-to-day work, even with your kids or your partner? In new self-care patterns, right? So you learn about this new rhythm now, the breath work, the yoga practice, right? So it can show up later, right? In curiosity that leads you to take new action, right? To bring in new areas, right? Maybe for your team, talking about things differently or taking the steps. So here are the ultimate tips for integration. Start small. Start a 10-minute breathing practice, not 1 hour spiritual routine connecting to the universe and having difficulties coming out of it again, right? Because then by taking small steps, you can really connect habits, right? Follow your curiosity. So connect with people or ideas that resonate with your insights, right? But maybe not, you know, overshare. This is also something that I really like, right? Wait a bit, like let it sink down, right? And this is also what the next tip is like. Write it down, keep notes. The workshop materials, you can come back to it, revise. Maybe there's a question that you want to work with, right? You can have journaling prompts to close, right? And I think what I said like some seconds ago is like, don't overshare too soon. So deep experiences need time to settle. So if you just jump on WhatsApp the hour you did this, right? You get out of the shala, the yoga shala, or the dojo, or you know, just the seminar room, and you're talking to your mom or your best friend. Honestly, don't do this, right? Just wait until you're back home. You can say it was a great experience. I learned a lot. I have a lot of questions that I took comfort. But wait until you share. Wait until the plane lands, or you know, the train arrives, or you're back at your apartment or home, right? And then you can see what to do, right? I love integrating also with talking about with my friends, because most of my friends are coaches themselves, practitioners, therapists, right? So this is really valuable. But in the end, there are certain things that I really keep close to my heart, right? And the final insight is integration is not about proving something, it's about living it, right? So why should you do a retreat then? if this is like all of this around? Spaces change everything. So getting out of your normal environment really gives your mind and body the signal that this is different, and then pay attention, your breath, your digestion, right? Change your nutrition, right? This is something that really helps to also make changes possible. You don't have the normal daily routines, right? No alcohol, maybe no coffee, no, you know, standing or sitting in your laptop 8 hours, right? So this is something that really your system can reset, right? The time to feel, this is just amazing. You don't have partners, kids, animals coming up to you all the time and just, you know, distracting you, right? You are really on your own, and this can feel so different also, but this is really something that is beneficial. The group energy magnifies your personal growth, right? In a safe, well-held, the group really transforms and helps to do this. And to be honest, of course you go to retreats, workshops, trainings because of the methods, the knowledge, the experience of the trainer. So of course you are seeking certain topics to really learn something new, right? But it is not everything, and I would, you know, always be a bit skeptic also about, you know, what someone says on a slide or up front, just, you know, also because it's about you and what you learn to get new practices doing. So reconnect with your body, your breath, your truth. And through movement, meditation, embodiment work, journaling, answering questions, going over methods, this can be done in a really good way. So you don't need a retreat to change your life, but a retreat can show what life could be like and give you the tools to make that real. It's a reset. It's a recalibration. It's a radical act of self-love, acceptance, and actually go into it. And I think, yes, from a Scrum Master certification to a yoga retreat or emotional embodiment, a life year group, this can be really beneficial. And I wish you the best in choosing the right container, as we trainers and facilitators are talking about this, a container filled with beautiful individuals at a beautiful spot where you really can come to the realizations and breakthroughs and take it to the next level. Don't hesitate if you have a question to come back. I'm definitely open for one-on-one coachings, and also I'm planning on doing retreats and workshops all the time. So check my homepage on newworkhero.es, but also in the show notes of the podcast to connect. And I hope that this show and this episode brought in some inspiration for you. And if you're up for a retreat yourself right now, I wish you the very best of experiences and may change your life. With heroic wishes, your Jörn Hendrik.